So I'm really for the embodiment of the pleasure priestess archetype and praying as I am in my pleasure, starting off with masturbation to then share with my partners, because it took a while for me to even get comfortable in expressing that level of priestess praying and thanking that ecstatic energy. But it starts with self.
Welcome to Sweet Release. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I am so excited. I have this goddess right here next to me, and I'm so happy to meet you. I'm happy to have you here, Miss Oviani.
Yes. Hello, hello. And thank you for having me, fellow goddess.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the divine feminine today.
Yes.
You're also a singer, a dancer.
Yes.
You know, you have a lot of talents.
Yes.
A yogi, so many things.
Mm-hmm. But liberator, activator.
Yes, please. I love that. I would love for you to just tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself or what kind of brought you to your divine energy that you have and this sensual power that I see within you. Like, what was that path like?
So I was raised Christian growing up in England and with Nigerian parents, who are Pentecostal Christian. And I remember reading the Bible and it said, ye are gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. And I was like, okay, so I'm a goddess. Tapped into that truth. And since then, the doors that have opened for me to really understand what it means to be a goddess, divine feminine, child of the Most High, has been my path.
Awesome. So it's been your path for a long time.
A long time.
You've felt pretty tapped in since a young age.
I would say it really starts in my 20s. So because I was raised very religious, I had a lot of that shame, that guilt conditioning of no sex before marriage, be a virgin and all of that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it really started during my early 20s. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what was, you know, you kind of were just like, okay, I don't really believe this saving myself for marriage. I don't really believe in this kind of, this stuff that we've been taught.
Yeah.
So you just kind of started opening up.
Yes. Through discernment. I'm like, okay, some things are clearly to oppress the masses and control people in the Bible, saying there's a part in the Bible that says, I don't trust a woman to preach in sermons. I'm like, okay, Paul, you were either gay or whatever the fuck was going on with your disconnection to understand that the embodiment of Christ in you is also in a woman too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's some bullshit in the Bible and there's a lot of truth as well. So that brought me to a spiritual path to see the truth in all and to see God in all, life in all.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And you do, I see you as this person that's very connected to Mother Nature and connected to your body. Mm-hmm. And so, it is, it's about all, it's about everything.
Exactly. In the most honorable way. So I love that you see my honoring of Mother Nature, because that's it. Everything to heal ourselves is here on this earth, to elevate ourselves rather than even heal ourselves, just to sustain us into more of who we are meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite exciting. And when we tap into that, we realize, wow, there is some sickness in this society.
Oh, it's so devastating.
Devastating, especially in America. So I was raised in England, and a lot of the food ingredients that you have in America are actually illegal in England, banned.
Yeah, I've heard that before. That's insane.
Insane. Heinz ketchup, for example, in England, it's vinegars, tomatoes, water, pure ingredients, like three ingredients. America, like 50 different ingredients of all these toxins, all of these just
preservatives,
oils,
it's terrible.
Toxic, parasitical poisons in the food.
So why are you here?
Clearly to set a new wave of reminding all of us of what it means to be our God selves, our best selves. And at the same time, we're human. So I've had my moments of weakness, you know, where it's like, you don't know better until you do. And then you do better when you know better. So,
yeah. I love that. Yeah. Do you have any things like rituals or things that you feel like grateful for when you like have food. You know, like meeting my partner, he always says a little prayer before he eats his food. And I always thought that was so sweet.
Yes.
You know, thank you for the plants. Thank you for the cow or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Right?
Giving thanks to everything, especially the food that we eat, and speaking over it. Oh, it changes the frequency. If you actually look into your water, so I'm obsessed with herbal teas and remedies and electrolytes, everything nutrient dense is what I consume. Like, I'm really initiated into the godly priestess way of being. Everything must be to elevate my well-being, medicinal, not toxic in the slightest. So with that, usually the concoctions I make with teas and electrolytes and things, usually it bubbles, and of course sugar-free and natural. And I speak over it, and because probiotics and everything, so it's like has its fizz. And as I speak over it with love and thanksgiving, I just see how it starts stilling itself. Seeing the power of frequency of energy. We are so magical, and it's amazing coming home to our nature. That's another, you know, pros and cons to everything. The pros to the patriarchal colonization and all of that that ripped us away from our truth is that now we all get to come back together, come back home to appreciating what it means to be really beyond human, to be tapped into our best, highest selves whilst embracing our human form. But really, we're all coming back home to that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, let's talk more about, you know, because it's, you know, it's also about this sacred sexuality too, you know, tapping into like who we are as women and men, but just as beings. Could you explain what sacred sexuality means to you, and how you've kind of found your power in that?
Love that. I think it definitely starts with self. I believe it starts with self, in loving, honoring yourself, ensuring that you're mindful of what you put into your body so that you're mindful with the partner that you choose as well. From the energetic standpoint, with the thought paradigms, and ensuring that everything is really elevating, because I've had, again, my moments of weakness where I allowed men who were not at all aligned with their optimal best self alignment to really nourish themselves of nutrient-dense foods and positive thoughts, and actually have that abundance mentality. There was so much fear and scarcity mentality that I allowed into me to realize it's not the way. It really, really starts with honoring and cherishing ourselves so much so that we can be of the same frequency of what we want to attract the best for us.
Yeah, well said. It's, you know, I talk a lot about self-love, and that's really what it is learning to, you were saying honoring yourself. It's just kind of learning to love yourself and really worship yourself. And then that's when you're able to bring in a relationship.
Exactly. And receive that worshiping as well, because you are already worshiping yourself. You know, you're worthy of it.
Yeah, I love that. Have there been any experiences that have kind of awakened you in ways that you're willing to share?
Every experience I go through with such authenticity, so I gain the wisdom, so I never allow the cycle to continue repeating and causing me more pain.
So you learn your lesson, and then you, that's great advice.
Yes. And being so spiritual has definitely protected me a lot from situations that could have been even more detrimental. Just having that gratitude, that awareness that there is divine protection over my life, and over my loved ones' lives and my family's lives too, and all of us, having that awareness is what keeps me going and keeps things going to a way that is not detrimental. So yes, because I've had some situations where, I was in a very weak space of just not knowing my power and not knowing how valuable I am, to allow some very toxic ways of love, where I thought the way of possession and control, like, I allowed possession and control to be love, when that's never the case. But that's also due to the conditioning, the patriarchal way, the colonized way of saying women are below, so a man needs to possess you and own you, and so toxic. And I allowed that.
We all do. I think we've all, just like you're saying, the conditioning, we've all like allowed that to live in us at some point of our lives.
Right.
And once you get to a point where you're like, what am I doing? What is this pattern here?
Literally enslaving self to a lie. Oh my goddess. Yeah. I went through a very heartbreaking scenario that actually had me in jail for 3 days.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, with this guy who was so possessive, control, hacked my phone. It was a very toxic situation. And because of my fear and feeling like I didn't know where to move to. And I was also in a place of scarcity, not understanding my abundant nature. I allowed myself to stay in a situation that had me in jail for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Like, I still feel that injustice, but again, taking accountability, because it takes two. Yeah, my weakness allowed me to be in that position that never should have been.
How did you, being in jail for 3 days, I'm sure was fucking terrible.
Heart-wrenching, especially for a holistic goddess. I couldn't eat anything, even the water that wasn't filtered. It was hell. I've cried enough tears to just, but also, I needed to get out of that situation. And honestly, it literally took me going to jail for 3 days to get out because I was still like, okay, I'm going to pay my portion of the rent and have this room and like wait until I'm like, even though we were dating and fucking, and I believe a man is a provider, protector, professor, pleaser, must embody these traits and really honor the feminine. So if I'm giving you my sacred womb and all of my wisdom and essence, you will provide. But it got to the point where it's like, okay, let me just, during this transitional phase, we already know first of all, his hygiene was awesome. He was on such a scarcity wavelength that he didn't even want to go to the dentist because he was afraid of how expensive it was going to be. That type of just low frequency that I allowed because I was thinking that maybe he could evolve and, you know, change and open up and, oh my goddess. So again, thank you, divine protection, even though it was wild how I got out of that situation. I'm grateful I got out of that situation.
Yeah, it makes you so grateful.
It so sounds grateful.
Like you're, yeah, because you're like, okay, this had to happen for me to move on.
Yeah.
And what was your thought process like after that? Were you just like, oh my God, thank goodness. Like, how did you kind of self-care and move through all of that?
Fellow goddess embodied soul sisters who are really doing the work to be our best selves physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, who see me and are like, you know, I've got you. We're on the same path of sacred healing. So you have a safe space with me to allow yourself to heal and also continue in your path of sovereignty, life coaching and sensual healing to also sustain yourself for your next transition. Mm. The divine protection is raw.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And so do you believe in God? Do you believe in multiple gods? Like do you just believe in this energy? Like,
yes, it's life source. Mm-hmm. So I see God in you and myself and everything, the breath that we breathe, life source energy. That is God.
Yeah, I love that. It's been tough for me too, because I grew up, I was a Christian. It was like a Protestant United Church of Christ. And I never felt super connected to this idea of God.
The monotheistic God. There's only one who's a jealous God. When this God creates all that is, it's loving.
I definitely love hearing that because I have found in my adult life that I feel like Mother Nature is kind of like more of my God, or it's just this energy of just being grateful for this, this power that we're not all that is out there too. You know, there's
exactly
more beyond.
So much more beyond. It's like we're everything and more. Yeah, nothing at all in the grandest schemes of things.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes. I love that. Well, I want to pivot a little. You're also, you know, I see you a lot on your social media, you know, sporting your beautiful body, and you're also into yoga.
Yes.
And nude yoga. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. From nature, we are in our most natural state naked. So to embrace that, it's even wild to me that is still stigmatized in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. Yet I do understand the power of a woman's physique, a woman who knows how to take care of herself and she knows the energy that she embodies and carries. I get it. It could be, you know, triggering for people. So they say be modest, but I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I said bye to bras years ago. So I'm like, my nips be popping.
Thank you. And even bras can cause cancer, especially the one with wires and the restriction. Oh, and I said goodbye to bras when I was in my teenage years. Like, yeah.
No, but it's true. There is this, there's still this stigma about nudity.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see. Yeah. So sorry to interrupt you. You can go on. Right. It's just cool to see you
embracing
it.
Yes. And it's funny because my mom is so Christian and she's so triggered by my nudity and my exuberance. But she's also like, you're actually inspiring me so much. Thank you. Aww. Yeah. Because coming home to loving ourselves, you love yourself and you know you are art. Of course, you're going to love yourself naked and be that way for people to also love themselves naked too.
It is a good lesson to, like, I always like to tell people to, you know, be naked more.
Yes.
To learn how to, yes, self-love, you know, self-love. Stand in the mirror and, yes, like, look at yourself.
Speak to yourself kindly, powerfully, say affirmations with thanksgiving. Yes.
But what about this nude yoga?
Nude yoga, such a vibe, and I love it.
I love it too. I've never seen it. I saw it for the first time through you, and I was like, what?
Really?
This is amazing.
Oh my goodness, look at that.
So it's a thing.
It's a thing. And okay, what I love about it so much is that it's not hyper sexualized, it's the purity of nudity. You're in your divine, you're not like lusting, you're in your own divine and flowing with people also in their naked divine. And it's just so pure and raw.
That's a good word for it, raw.
Yeah. Because it's the duality that must be embraced, the purity of it all and the rawness of it too.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because yoga is very, it's meditative, it's very spiritual.
Yes.
And so why not be in your rawest spiritual form?
Exactly. And it's very active as well. So to move freely and not have any stigma and shame and moving with people who are also allowing their balls, vaginas, everything and just being free is so liberating and so fun and funny to see. Just, yeah, flow naked.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to do that. It's going to be on my list now of things to do.
Yes.
You also do some other like workshops and coaching for like wellness and things like that.
Absolutely.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit? And
yes. So what I love to do, as you could already tell, is in bringing people up to remember their best selves, their loving selves, their most divine selves. And that comes in many different variations through breathwork, yoga, through just speaking, dance, singing, using the voice. So there are many modalities to guide people back home. And some are so raw and tantric that some people usually, they cry, they scream, they shout, whatever is necessary to get all the blockages out in the safest way possible, knowing that they are safe to just express.
Yeah, I love that. It feels like you're doing your mission. Like, I feel like everything that you've said makes sense and it's cohesive. And
Especially with what I've gone through to also purge myself from all of the restrictions and limitations, the hate, the shame, the doubts that the patriarchy and colonization has made everyone feel. I get to give that back too.
Yeah. Have you had insecurities in the past?
Like, absolutely. So let me tell you about a full circle moment of the divine. Wow. So I actually used to bleach my skin, used to want to be lighter, hate my, I know that's how bad the brainwashing goes of colonization that we don't even understand. And what's crazy is that I used to get these bleaching creams from my mom and her sisters in Nigeria. Like, they just sell them. It's like a normal thing. Like, don't be dark. It's horrible. Be lighter skinned. And this, we all know, but we didn't know how, you know, how intense it can be on the psyche to make people depressed, feel unworthy. And so there's this company called Fashion Fair, and they would mass produce these bleaching creams. Just recently, last year, they changed their board of team members and created this new cruelty-free vegan line of organic makeup that includes all varieties of complexions, going from the lightest to the deepest, deepest, deepest of darkest. And they booked me to be one of their models, muses, for one of their deepest shades that's all organic and natural. And I was like, wow, this is fashion fair. I'm like, you guys need to understand that your bleaching cream was what I used to use growing up. And now that you have completely taken a shift to pay me for this campaign is all over Sephora worldwide. Like, that is a big turning point. The moment I decided to embrace my dark and say, you know what, this is who I am. I will allow the sun to kiss me more, no more hiding in the shade, trying to bleach my skin. And the universe is like, bam, let's make a shift and also book you to be and to be benefit exactly from this shift. Yeah.
Wow, that's such a beautiful circle moment. Right. Oh my God. I'm so sure wild. That was so empowering.
Absolutely.
To now be like the face of the dark shade.
Exactly. You know? When they used to make all these bleach, and they still do in certain third world countries, like in India as well, I heard, in Africa, and all, like, it's crazy that there's still the bleaching section of people trying to enforce people to not embrace their natural melanin and to see that as beautiful, to see all shades as beautiful, but especially to see the melanin as beautiful. Like, why should that even be, you know?
It's devastating.
It's devastating.
I can't imagine. Sorry if we can hear we're watching our friend's dog at the moment,
so,
and she is upset that she didn't get to love
enjoying.
On you.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't get my attention. So I'm sorry, sweets, if you can hear some whining in the back. But yeah, what an experience. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a dark shade, but I can imagine again, it's like the stigma. It's this deeply rooted part that just makes you feel less than
the
for so long.
Throughout all of humanity. I'm like, how did it get to that degree? So I remember growing up in England, and I was predominantly white school, and I was literally, I think, one of two of the only black students in my whole year.
Oh, wow.
And my goddess, like, it's a wild experience. Like, I remember the guys being like too afraid to date me because they're like, you know, I don't really know. Like, she's black and she's different. I'm like, wow, what is all of this? So it's like breeding even more insecurities. So really social media, the power of social media. I remember when Instagram first came about and I suddenly saw things like black girls rock, black girls are beautiful, black girl magic. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, this is a possibility. Like, wow. Like, you can embrace your melanin like that and like boldly be like, wow, I rock. Like, let's go. So that's social
opened
media.
You up. Yeah.
Opened me up.
Well, you were fucking stunning. So
blessings.
I'm so glad that you found your path to.
Doesn't it go to show the power of the mind?
Mm-hmm.
How brainwashing, how we can be so influenced to think otherwise. And so getting a grasp on that is so important.
Yeah. How would you recommend people grasp that? I mean, besides, like, you know, being more grateful and, you know, welcoming all of it, you know, like we've already talked
really
on.
It. Accepting yourself from where you're at and seeing where you want to be and knowing that Rome was not built in a day. So firstly, accept yourself with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And evolve daily to be more of who you are meant to be naturally. And know that there's no one way to be beautiful, no one way to be intelligent and healthy in this. It's all about how you feel in yourself.
Yeah, be authentic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And in a way that's coming home to the divine in yourself, the God in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I want to talk more about this, like, sexual power.
Yes.
Because, you also have, like, exclusive content and you have this very, you're like a professional kind of dancer for some of these, you know, I don't know what it's called, like, go girls or I don't know. You're definitely harnessing this, like, sexual power.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny. So I've been in LA for 4 years now. Well, 4 years in August. When I first got here, I was booked for a jewelry brand campaign and ended up extending my flight for like 2 weeks. And then I met this muse who was so, during the pandemic, she was so liberated. And I'm like, okay, girl, I'm not going to lie, I have anxiety because it's a pandemic, all of this uncertainty. Like, what is your secret? She's like, I'm into plant medicine healing. And so we had our first ayahuasca ceremony together. Mm. And that opened me up to a whole nother dimension of liberation. And what's funny is that, so she actually had a gut problem, like candida. So during it, she wasn't able to like fully like liberate, but somehow through it in that moment, I was like so liberated through it that like, it was like triggering her. She's like, girl, I'm like healing from this. And like, my like,
it's like power came out. Power.
Yeah. She's like, girl. So we actually like 2 years were just like, we need our space. Well, like not really 2 years, probably a few months. And like here and there, but yeah, going on our journeys of immense liberation, awakening, and healing. And later, somehow, just being in America, I ended up getting candida, this gut ailment because of the foods that made me realize I need to be even more rigorous with what I eat, calling up restaurants before to make sure they don't have seed oils, mm-hmm. to make sure they could accommodate me with olive oils, just natural, clean, sugar-free living, because even more sensitive, I feel, the more that I've allowed myself to be a part of this journey of medicinal living through ayahuasca. It's not a joke. You're really initiating yourself into being one with Mother Nature.
Yes. It's something I haven't done, but I'm with a man that's a lover of it. He's blessings. A part of a church, and he's very connected to Mother Aya. Yes. But I've been so scared and fearful of it, but I feel like I've found more security in it recently, and I do see it in my future for sure.
I love that you're not rushing yourself, because girl, you do not want to go into it with fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I've heard some stories of people like they were afraid and they went to hell. I'm like, it's because your frequency will dictate the outcome amplified. So ensure that you're in that place of gratitude and trusting in the unknown.
And for people that don't know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do know what ayahuasca is, but it is this like plant medicine. Yes. And could you describe kind of, yeah, what it does for you and how, yeah, it awakened you?
So it's unique for each individual, and it must be done on a ceremonial basis when you're honoring the origins, the ancestral origins of the plant medicine. The music is its own technology. And I love hearing stories because I felt reborn, and hearing stories from people who also took the medicine, they felt like their DNA was being replaced, positioned into.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's unique for each.
Yeah. And it's an experience. And it's such definitely an experience. A healing one.
Big time. I actually went to Brazil for 2 months to experience the different ways of ayahuasca by different tribes. I started with the Yawanawa, and blessings, they were mostly masculine based, so they were not as open to the feminine liberation or exuberance and expression. I remember once was like, I knew I was about to have a full-on breakthrough, like just breathing, and they just were not ready for that. They'll just like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh to like shut it down. I'm like, motherfuckers, like down, you know?
Let me go.
Like, it will heal the people with sexual shame to like open up even more. Like, allow yourself to be triggered. Like, it's fine. And this is why it's so important as well for women to be in power, because I've had ceremonies with women who so nurturing. They're like, yes, go there. Yes, allow yourself to express it. It's from a place that's not like I'm like afraid of my sexual desire for you, or like it's like, yes.
Yeah, and powerful.
You're safe and powerful. Yes, yeah, express.
Woman,
hear me roar.
I love your energy.
I love.
So good. Mm. Yeah, so that's like a part of, yeah, your wellness, like plant medicine. And,
yes.
And are you vegetarian?
I went through a whole journey of that where I felt like I needed to be vegan. I needed to be pescatarian. And honestly, you know, it's good to allow your body to detox. And so
take
breaks. So then you could intuitively start eating, knowing what your body intuitively needs. Like, I remember started craving beets, and then it got to the point where I was craving red meat, but I will never eat red meat unless it's grass fed organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want those hormones. Thank you. Extra hormones in the meat, God forbid. You need the purest grass-fed, even with butter. Rather do ghee because it's better on the gut. It's more nutrient-dense. So everything nutrient-dense. And I eat fish that's farmed, that's wild, you know, natural from the farmer's market, everything.
Yeah, fish is tough now because sometimes the farmed stuff is better than the wild, and sometimes it's hard to know. I have a friend that is into just aquaculture and all of that, and so she's been trying to educate me more and more, and I'm like, it's tough because our oceans are so
polluted.
Yeah, and so they're just getting, all these fish are just getting filled with terrible stuff, and yeah, that's what we're eating. And so
I rarely even do fish, but if I do occasionally, it will be wild from a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I prefer red meat, even that on occasion, but especially during my period.
Red meat?
Red meat, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, before
and we... with the organs. So there's this bison meat, which is so lean, and it has liver and heart organs. And I know that sounds so raw, but so nutrient dense.
I mean, I love it. My friends a couple of years ago, like, went through this whole process of like farming a cow and shooting the cow and putting this whole dinner together where we ate and, you know, gave thanks to the cow.
Thank
it was a
you.
Whole, it was
have
a whole
to give thanks for the yes. sacrifice. Yes.
It was a whole experience. And my girlfriend, who was, you know, kind of spearheaded the ship, she ate some of the organs. And she said it felt
alive.
Good. It felt like empowering.
Literally.
I mean, and really, yeah, like you said, it makes you feel alive.
Nutrient dense, the most nutrient dense, the liver, the organs, the heart. It's so wild, but it's our nature. It's something to give thanks to, as we do.
Do you have... Well, I know you have some snakes, but which we
I
should
love
talk
that
about.
You just brought this because when you're feeding the snakes, yes. you say, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifices. You're feeding them those live rats, right? You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. So my partner had a snake before we met, and I've had snakes throughout my life. I mean, I'm an animal lover.
Yes.
But he, like, all of a sudden, his name's Little Dude. All of a sudden, he wasn't eating the frozen rats anymore. And, you know, they get picky and finicky. And so we started giving him live rats.
Yeah.
And we named the first several. Like, I was devastated. Like, I was giving full, like, we would have a full ceremony beforehand.
Yeah.
And then our dog is like crying and whimpering. And I'm like, oh, she's sad too. But I'm like, no, she just wants the rat.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about snakes because you're very connected to snakes in your art and your modeling.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yeah, your dog is so ready to join us.
My goodness. So you're a snake lover and a mother,
yes,
and you have a couple, right?
I have three.
You have
bull
three?
Pythons,
okay.
Yes.
So how did you come to love snakes? Or like what? Because they are this divine energy. So.
Exactly. When you understand that there's a kundalini serpent within our base root chakra that rises up to open us even more, we become fearless.
Yes.
And it's actually said that your relationship to a snake, how you see a snake, is your relationship to divine feminine. So a lot of people who are afraid of snakes are so afraid of the divine feminine.
Oh, interesting.
I know. It just shows how much work is still yet to be done in our day and age.
Oh, that's very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you get your first snake? Like, how long ago was that?
They were gifts. And the very first snake I got was a baby, like little tiny snake who passed away.
Oh.
I know. It breaks me heart, but thank you. Rest in peace. Power and lights up the way for us.
So you got a few more though.
I got a few more also. Yes. I let them roam free occasionally and then come back into their aquarium and they cuddle together, which is so adorable. The first one actually died because I was sleeping with him and he suffocated. It was so heartbreaking. No, it was way too small. But it's okay. So these three are bigger and much more independent, but also because I let them go out whenever they go back into their aquarium, that three of them just cuddle together and they just, it's amazing.
They're lovers.
Lovers. And ball pythons, so their natural tendency is to ball up whenever they feel threatened and afraid. They're not ones to just strike out of malice. Like, they just hide and they're so loving and so wise.
Oh, they're so sweet.
And do you ever sing to them and see how their heads come out and they're ready and like, ah, especially when there's opera. If I'm playing opera, if I'm singing opera, they're like, yo, come out and play. I'm like, yes.
Little dude always peeks up when I'm cooking. I feel like he's always like, ooh, something smells good. But I'll start having to sing. I mean, your voice is far more beautiful than mine.
Practice makes improvement, darling.
Thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, you use your, I mean, you have your snakes a lot in photography, which, I mean, I've done that even too. It's sexy to be so with this sexy snake. And even just like holding them around your neck or they're just so, I don't know. They're a breed that's very sensual. Yeah. Mm. But they're also very, I don't know. They're gentle, easy. They're like little dogs. They're gentle.
Loving. Yeah.
Like they're even good. We've had kids over here. They hold the snakes. Like people just need to be less fearful of
snakes.
That's
really it. And less fearful, period. Mm-hmm. More trusting in ourselves and our nature so we can discern. When, because of course there are some certain snakes that are like just hungry and ready to like rawr, so discern by being so secure and trusting in yourself that you can differentiate when it's not time to go and be friends with that snake right now. Or yeah, absolutely, you're at peace and that snake will receive your peace and amplify that.
Yeah, snakes are awesome. I think
awesome.
Also, too, when I'm like, I don't know, we've talked about Aya, but maybe if I'm on like a little bit of acid or something, like if I just feel like I need to have my snake on me, I'm like, they just the touching them. The scales,
what about mushrooms?
Like
this,
mushrooms too.
Mushrooms, because that's so natural, and the neurogenesis element to mushrooms. I'm so grateful that it's becoming legalized right now because even all psychedelics, actually. How they open us up more, our pineal gland to see more, to feel more, to be more. Yeah, it's time.
It's time. It's time. Yeah, the mushrooms are amazing. You know, they have all the chocolates now, and so you can just have little micros.
And the chocolates that have all the mycelium as well, the lion's mane that's good for your cognition, the reishi for your longevity, cordyceps for your energy. I love it so much. There's this documentary called Fantastic Fungi.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's on Netflix. Definitely worth the watch.
Okay.
Yeah, lets us know that we are all mushrooms, like how we are actually decaying. Like, it's quite funny, which I have to shower day and night. Like, it brings us back to that appreciation of our roots.
They are such a big network of roots.
Huge.
So it's so fascinating to know how they work. And they're smart. It's
so
weird.
So smart.
Yeah, well, that's
and it's
wild.
Like we eat them now and then they eat us when we die and we become the mushrooms like fully. And it's so wild, the cycle of life, isn't it?
It is wild. And I mean, I'm still terrified to die though. I really am. I don't know why. I would still want to be here, you know?
But that's why you're here.
Yeah.
But also to not be afraid of it because you know that you have much more life to live and share and trusting in that with thanksgiving whenever you do feel afraid. That's also part of our humanity. Like the fear is usually to guide us and teach us, but to not hold on to that fear so it actually stagnates and stifles us, but to welcome it and with thanksgiving transmute it into exactly what we want it to be. We have the choice, the power of choice.
Yeah, that's what makes us so special, is because we do have all the power.
Yes,
we get to decide, and
we have to understand the connection to life source through us, and as we honor it, it honors us thousandfold.
Yeah, we are powerful but powerless all at the same time. Well, I would love to also talk about, I love talking about sex and pleasure and connection and making people feel comfortable with their, you know, just their divine sexual power. Do you have just like your favorite thing that you love to do in pleasure sessions? Or do you have a way that you like to just like harness your energy when you're with lovers?
Yes. So I'm really for the embodiment of the pleasure priestess archetype and praying as I am in my pleasure, starting off with masturbation to then share with my partners, because it took a while for me to even get comfortable in expressing that level of priestess praying and thanking that ecstatic energy. But it starts with self. So masturbating and just allowing yourself to manifest what you want with Thanksgiving and allowing your energy to go there and rise as you climax. You're in that climactic expression of gratitude. And yeah, so that's how I love to expand and express my sexuality in prayer.
I love that. And, you know, it is Masturbation May right now, too. So I'm always trying to tell people, remind people, you know, it's time to masturbate. It's time to, you know, just welcome that and, and explore. I always encourage exploring yourself first before others. And so many of us are scared.
Because we've been taught the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Like, have sex when you're married. Like, don't touch yourself. Like, my mom used to, like, hide all of my masturbation tools and all, like, lock them up. Like, even my neck massagers. But I'm like, girl, like, let me have this moment. Let me allow myself to learn what it means to please myself. So, like, I can know what's right before a man tries to tell me what is right or what's wrong. And yeah.
So did you have like toys when you were like living at home in high school and stuff? Or
I mean, even when I would hide them, my mom would
that's amazing.
Get them. So it was interesting. And I remember because of the religious conditioning, I remember masturbating, watching porn, masturbating and being like, forgive me, Christ, forgive me for the sin. And I remember once hearing a thought saying, why?
Yeah.
Literally, it's like, why? So you're going to do it again? And why, period? Like, what are you doing that's so wrong? And I was like, wow, like, look at me all in shame and guilt and doubt. Like, it's nothing wrong with pleasing yourself. Mm-hmm. And what's funny as well is that growing up, I would watch only lesbian porn because the porn of men and women looked so abusive. It looked like there was no connection, no sort, but the feminine, the lesbian porn was so like connecting and sensual and meeting each other from where they're at to climb out, to build with ease rather than just bam, 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 bam. I'm like, oh my goodness, that was painful. Yeah.
No, I can relate. I do feel like I only watched girl on girl porn when growing up.
Right.
I think that's pretty common for women. I think it's like a softer approach. It's softer. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we're so connected to feminine energy. I think a lot of women are at least heteroflexible to a degree.
Yes, yeah. But even at that, like I want a family of my own and I actually don't see myself as gay. I'm very pansexual, so I'm on that spectrum. It's energy for me, but I definitely want to have I'm calling in my sacred masculine counterpart that I'll to raise family with and have our village awakened tribe with. Yeah. So knowing that's so expensive because we're all awakening. So it's initiating people more into this divine awakening that no matter where we go in the world, we know who's our divine soul tribe family.
I love that for you.
I love it so much.
I see that for you too.
Yeah. And that actually happened during my first ayahuasca experience that I remember feeling so lost and afraid. And this girl from France, who was also coming from West Hollywood, we were paired together to drive up to Ojai for our first ayahuasca ceremony. And I remember telling her, I feel so afraid and alone. And she was like, don't you ever say that because we, your soul family, literally crying. She's like, we, your soul family, who are doing what it takes to be our best selves. We are your family. Don't ever say you feel alone. And we're like crying, like, you know, you're right. Like, shit, we really are doing the work to be what it means to be alive and best selves for humanity. So yeah, we're a tribe.
That's beautiful. It's a good reminder because sometimes we do feel really alone and then it's like, no, you have all these people that
we're also on the same wavelength to want to be better people for themselves and humanity. Like,
beautiful. Well, as we're wrapping up, I would love to ask you that last time, you know, we were just talking about pleasure and masturbating, but that last time you had that sweet release, and sweet release is an orgasm for us here at the podcast. And any and all details, just to normalize pleasure.
It's definitely yesterday morning.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, maybe even this morning. No, definitely yesterday with the intention of masturbating. But I was going to say this morning in my workout class, I took a Pilates solid core class. And that to me is so orgasmic, just allowing my body to expand its dimensions and ride that wave of pleasure, like alchemizing the pain into pleasure because it's for the best. I love it.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It does. When you're working out, it's hard not to get Aroused. I've definitely talked about that before.
Yes, enjoy your body, yeah, getting love yourself, stronger, yeah. better. Yes.
Awesome. Mm.
Even eating too, enjoy your food in a way you're like, thank you for this nutrient-dense yumminess. Oh, yes. Like, yes, really live in that pleasure and gratitude all for all. Pleasure, yeah. Prrr, exactly.
But the one yesterday morning, was it a nice
self-pleasure? That was a very intentional self-pleasure nice. With my pink masturbation clit sucker.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are nice.
Yes.
I love how they've shifted away from these dick-shaped vibrators to more now we have these sucking ones.
The sucking
now
ones are really
these,
it.
Like, balls. Yeah. And, yeah, all these, like, right? cool things. That...
And there are days where I need double. Sometimes I need my big dildo up in me and my clit sucker mm-hmm. together.
Get that yeah. blended okay. orgasm going.
Blended orgasm, exactly.
So good. So good. I feel like we need to hear you sing a little bit. You've been singing just throughout today, but do you want to leave us with a little riff, a little song?
I can leave you with a little riff, a little song, a little blessing.
Yeah, let's do it. Ooh,
ooh. I'll make a little prayer from my soul to you. Honoring this beautiful moment that we've shared, this expansive, delicious, activating sharing of our wisdom and our most divine pleasure. So calling in more pleasure, more delicious pleasure for humanity. For we, for humanity. And so it is.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with you. I'm obsessed Thank with you. You. You are magic. Wow.
Yes, we are.
That was perfect. Thank you so much for being here and giving me us your wisdom and sharing your light and energy with me. It was just with us. Yeah, it was magic. Thank you.
Thank you so much, too, for amplifying the magic.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for being here. And to you sweets out there, like we said, you know, just be sweet to yourself. Learn to self-love. Yes. Be sweet to that pleasure. And
come home to you, trusting you, loving you, and sharing that with the world.
Yes, well said.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.